You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there with that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers going deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's the best.
Defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio in our 10th season. Your trio of hosts tonight are the pining Kelly Hodson, that Packer girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the yearning CD Angeli, Tundra Vision on Twitter. And little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter and listen to my nonsense there. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network, once again, are our very good friends at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee and great prices. They have an office right across the street from Lambeau. You can order online, pick up your tickets there. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. Okay, that takes care of the formalities. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moved my cheese?
All right, Packer Nation. Playoff football returns to Lambeau Field. The Green Bay Packers take on their divisional arch rivals in blue and kryptonite green in the NFC divisional round at home. Let's go through your cheese winners this week. First of all, our sharp cheddar. Who needs to be sharp in this game? Who's the guy you need to play at maximum efficiency to win on Sunday night?
Three words, Aaron Charles Rodgers. The second season starts this weekend, and he has to be the Rodgers of yesteryear.
Well, I'm going to go with the Smith brothers. Playing against Russell Wilson has been a killer for the Packers defense of the past. These guys need to be the Packers defense of the right now.
And my pick has got to be Aaron Jones. He is one of your top offensive weapons. Get him the ball.
And now on to our Swiss cheese. We talked about this a little last week, but who's the guy now that you want to step up their game and be a surprise superstar for us to win against the Seahawks?
Well, guys, I'm going to have to go with the alien lizard, Alan Lazard himself. The Packers need a dependable, underline that word, second wide receiver. He's filled the role nicely this year, but he needs to put the team on his back and be Mr. Dependable because there's nobody else.
Well, I'll tell you what, now that we know we're playing Russell Wilson, I'm going to say Blake Martinez. You've got to collapse the pocket and keep him from killing us with his legs, and we got to change beast mode into lease mode. Blake needs to be that guy on Sunday.
Good choice, but I am going to go with Kevin King. Russell Wilson throws a hell of a deep ball, and if King draws Metcalf, you can be sure they will test King. Something with deep ball, something that he has struggled with this season. That could be the difference in the game.
I think you might be right. Finally, our Limburger cheese. You get one free pass to bench any player for the Packers on Sunday night. They can't play. Who do you use it on?
Jimmy Graham. Seriously, what is his job on the team?
Well, I'm going to say MVS. I still want to believe, just not today.
And I guess we're all going to pick pass catchers because I'm going with Geronimo Allison. Give me Adams, Lazard, and Kumaro, and let's go.
All right, we have it then. So there's a lot more Packer talk coming up, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
the playbook.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the playbook here at Cheesehead Radio. Holy cow, it's playoff time. We haven't had a playoff game like this. It's been like three full regular seasons since we've sniffed the playoffs. Finally, it's here. And Jersey Al and Kelly, you're going to the game, aren't you?
Whoop, whoop. Yep.
Yes, I am.
And so am I. So very excited about Shocking. This. All three of us at the game at the same time. Got to get a picture or something, don't we?
We should. We need to.
Yeah.
I don't think we've all three has been together in one place physically ever, have we?
I think we were Probably. at one of the throwback weekends yeah. we had to have been.
Yeah.
Oh,
the one that was outside when they used to do it outside.
Yeah. Before. Yeah. It was the second one, I think, is what it was.
Yeah. Oh, that could be so.
Was that the one where I was dancing and got to go to the game? That was probably it.
That's probably it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
maybe you can repeat that.
We will not. Much older now. So wild card weekend is done. For some odd reason, I never really watch. It seems like I never really watch a lot of football other than the Packers, but I watched all four games this weekend. And I don't know why I was on the edge of my seat for all of them. What was your thoughts? Big games. Jersey Al, let's start with you.
Which game do you want to start with?
Whichever one's your favorite.
Whichever one was my favorite. Probably going to go with the Patriots losing.
Oh,
that was pretty sweet, wasn't
sweet
it?
Sweet Schadenfreude.
That was pretty sweet. I mean, the score was relatively close, but really they took a physical beating, right? I mean, they really got beat up, and it was kind of fun to see. I know that's not nice, but too bad.
Well, there was something just delicious about Vrabel beating Belichick at his own game with all of those penalties. It's like, what a jerk move. Do it again.
Right. I mean, but it worked. I mean, and that was pretty risky because that's something that could backfire, right?
Right.
You know, the Patriots could end up scoring. Now suddenly you've taken time away from yourself to be able to come back. So,
but, you know, but he was like rent free in Belichick's head at that time. So any game plan he had was obliterated.
No, I agree with you there. I think Belichick was probably crazed and like couldn't believe this was happening to him. And that certainly didn't help the Patriots.
We may look back on that game and just for the exact reason you mentioned, this could be the passing of the torch. I mean, this could be the end of the Patriots empire. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be a bad team, but I mean, what is it? 6 Super Bowls in 19 years,
right.
17 years. Yeah. Hey, I mean, that may be it.
But CD, what did Jameis God, let me start this over again. Hang on. Hey,
I love trying to edit all this out later.
You should just continue.
Okay. What a Winston and Brady have in common right now. They both ended the season on a interception.
Ooh. And if Tom Brady retires, he and Brett Favre will retire with their last pass being an interception.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. They just lost one coach. The Giants hired away one of their coaches. You got to think that McDaniels is, you know, unless he's been promised the job when Belichick leaves, you got to think that he'll take a job somewhere. So who knows? This could be the breakup, or they could just all come back next year, with the exception of the guy the Giants just hired, and try it again. I think there's a better than even chance that happens, because I don't think anybody wants it to end this way. I think this is a real bad, you know, taste in their mouth the way it ended. So I think they'll probably be pretty motivated to come back and give it another shot. But we shall see.
Yeah, there definitely could be a revenge tour next year.
Let's get into the NFC.
NFC.
The Vikings.
Shocking.
Beat the Saints. We thought that was a slam dunk. I don't know who was picking the Vikings in that game besides a couple Viking fans, and I don't even think all of them were picking them to win. So that was a pretty big game where Drew Brees, another guy that might be getting close to the end, sure also looked awfully human.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought about taking the Vikings with the points. But then I'm like, the Saints at home? No, no way. Can't do that. And wow, the Vikings not only, you know, covered, but won by 6 points. So that was quite impressive what they did to Drew Brees.
Yeah, they actually make me a little worried if they happen to get lucky and beat the 49ers, because I think it'd be really hard.
Impressive was my word for worrisome.
Yeah, like they were a team like that we've been worried about all season, and they finally showed up.
Right, like if they ever really find themselves, they could be they could be trouble. But hey, I mean the 49ers, that's going to be a tough get for them.
Yeah, that's going to be. But then if we get lucky, we get to play the 49ers. Lucky us.
And that's a tough one for us, right? But hey, let's hope we get there, right?
Exactly. Eggs in the right basket right now, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Well, most importantly, the game that obviously then we had to watch on Sunday night was the Seahawks and the Eagles. And I think a lot of us were hoping that the Eagles were going to win. Not surprising, Seahawks were favored in the game. The Eagles obviously were playing without Carson Wentz. And it's okay. Was that Josh McCown that came in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he's 50, 60 years old.
108, yeah. Something like that.
And... yeah, it was actually fascinating watching him play. I actually was kind of rooting for him, because here's a guy in his first playoff game ever, and he's playing Matt Flynn ball, you know.
Oh, smart, he had a lot of poise.
Yeah, a lot of poise, a lot of movement in the pocket.
The only thing that really hurt them was that they couldn't get 7 instead of 3. Yeah, they exactly. had incredible opportunities to get 7 points, and each time had to settle for 3, and that was the difference in the game, even without Carson Wentz. I actually thought the Eagles were going to win the game. I think I said that on last week's show. I was picking the Eagles to win, and I truly think that if they had had Carson Wentz, they would have won, and we'd be playing the Eagles now, but that didn't happen.
So we are playing the Seahawks. And
yes, we are.
I like to call them...
what do you like to call them, CD?
Blue and kryptonite for the Packers. It's not blue and green. It's blue and kryptonite.
Okay, let's be honest about the Seahawks. They brought back money, but he's kind of large, kind of slow, and hasn't played in a year. He's kind of a decoy. And if they're going to use him, they're going to use him like John Kuhn, like 3rd and short on draw play. So he's not the big threat. Their running threat is Russell Wilson. Watching him this weekend, he's the one you have to contain and stop. Like you said, Blake Martinez has to bring his A game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more than just Blake Martinez, because, you know, can you see Blake Martinez one-on-one with Russell Wilson in the open field and winning that? No, right. So it's not going to be Blake Martinez, it's going to be a guy like Chandon Sullivan, or a guy like Raven Green, or Abraham Campbell, one of those safety, cornerback, all-purpose, defensive back types, I think, that is who you're going to have to use to really, you know, keep track of Russell Wilson. I didn't want to say spy, because I don't think they did that the last time they played, against other mobile quarterbacks, but they do have somebody looking out, but not spying, so to speak. But I think it's got to be somebody more athletic than Blake Martinez.
I think Mike Pettine really had to come up with a different game plan. I think had we been playing the Saints, had we been playing the Eagles, I think you could have gone with a pretty fairly standard defensive approach to the game. I mean, you have some basic pocket passers, little mobile, and of course, you know, who's the guy? Taysom Hill, is that his name for the Saints?
Yep,
yeah.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean, we would have had a plot for that, but this really changes everything we have to do defensively simply because of Russell Wilson. Because he does have that strong arm, because he's so mobile, and because he's not afraid to just strongly run over someone with those legs, it's going to change possibly how our entire defensive sets, more so than we would have had it been the Eagles or the Saints.
And he doesn't run like a quarterback. He will slide, but he's going to barrel forward, though. And he's going to take risks that we haven't seen all season. You know, you look back to the McCarthy era, and the mobile quarterback, whether it was Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick, they were our true kryptonite. We never figured out how to scheme against them. I'm hoping Pettine, this is where he shines. Because, yeah, it could get ugly really fast. They don't really need a running back right now. Because if you watched the game last week, it was Wilson on the ground.
So, when I look at these matchups, and I guess when I look at Marshawn Lynch, a strong runner, and you saw him. He didn't run a lot, but when he did, especially at the end of the game, he was successful up the middle. You have now Russell Wilson passing to DK Metcalf. Where did he come from? Superstar. What is he, 6'4"? Built like a tight end, and holy cow, he's grabbing everything downfield. This actually is a pretty good matchup, advantageous to the Seahawks. Really got to see what the Packers are going to do to counter some of this.
Seriously, how tall is Kevin King?
I think he's like 6'2". I think for
he's bigger than I thought.
For a cornerback, I think he's a little taller than normal.
Because sometimes on the field, he just looks like he's about 4'8".
Actually, he's 6'3".
No way, because he looks so tiny on the field. So I'm not as worried then, because he's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, so he's almost the same height as Metcalf. What I'm more worried about is, can he keep up with him?
That's a big question.
Down the field, can he keep up with him? And you're going to have some safety help. They cannot leave him one-on-one with a guy like Metcalf. We've seen what's happened this season when King had to cover somebody one-on-one deep. It hasn't ended well most of the time. So
he gets torched.
Yeah. So that's going to be important. Pettin's going to have to be sure that they're accounting for that at all times.
So let's think about this real quick. I'm going to say a couple names.
Real quick.
Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
All right. Darnell Savage.
Yeah.
Okay. And Elgton Jenkins.
Is this a Jeopardy question?
It's not. Those were our first three draft picks and three guys that we picked ahead of Metcalf. Mm-hmm. Would you like to have J.K. Metcalf as our number two receiver right now?
Well, who would we not have?
Well, one of those three names.
No. Well, we would still have Gary.
Yeah, we'd have Gary.
Like, when, in other words, when was Metcalf picked? What was he, second round?
End of the second round.
All right. So if we took him, we wouldn't have, let's say we took him in the second round, we wouldn't have Jenkins, and that would not be good.
True.
No.
That would not be good. Because we certainly wasn't going to take him in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's definitely not. He wasn't.
So the question is, would you trade Metcalf for Jenkins right now? That's the question.
The thing is, I don't know, because this isn't an obvious one. It's like, would you like Barry Sanders or would you like Tony Mandarich? That one was pretty obvious that we made the wrong pick. This one's a little more subtle, because Gary I wouldn't get rid of anyway. We would have had him anyhow, because I think he's coming into himself. Yeah, Jenkins and Savage. I think I'd rather have two good players and take a gamble on the payoff of two good players versus one.
Or do you take pick number 75, Jace Sternberger, and instead of taking him, package up a pick and move up into the end of the second round where Metcalf was taken at 64?
That's much more feasible and palatable.
Yeah.
You could live with that.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're getting into the scenario of, well, Pluto is in line with Jupiter, so
what if
does the ice cream actually have bones? You know, what's he okay?
Well, you know, like I said, we've been talking how we want a number two receiver all year, and here's a guy that we could have gotten without sacrificing a whole ton, and, you know, I hate to say it, this guy might be the guy who burns us on Sunday night. So, I mean, the draft is a crapshoot, and we all know that. There's people we think that are sure things in the first round, and, of course, then we question it 2 weeks into the season because he's not getting 14 sacks a game. But yeah, it is one of those things, almost like Aaron Rodgers picked 24 and he just loves checking off those 23 teams that missed on him, passed up on him. Maybe J.K. Metcalf's going to do that too.
Yeah, very possible. I mean, he really got talked down in the draft. He got knocked for not being able to run a route properly and other things. And he certainly has taken it upon himself to prove all those people wrong. Yes, come on.
So a lot for us to think about, and we're really going to hope Kevin King has become
please, Kevin,
a lot
please,
better
Kevin.
Than he was earlier.
Please, Kevin, please, Kevin, please, Kevin.
So let's switch to the other side of the ball. And you guys both mentioned it in your sharp cheddars. Two guys named Aaron really have to be the guys that come to play on Sunday night. The first question I just have to ask you is, can we win this game with the Aaron Rodgers we have seen since the Oakland Raiders game, a pedestrian Aaron Rodgers, or if not, what level does he have to rise to for us to really be competitive? Kelly, we'll start with you.
At this point, I'd be okay with the Kirk Cousins Aaron Rodgers. I kid. He needs to be in it to win it. He has been really sloppy the last couple games. You look at the last game of the season, and he was way off his mark. It wasn't necessarily the receivers were not running poor routes. He was just inaccurate. I'm okay with an occasional mistake. What I don't want him to do is hold onto the ball and eat it for a 7-yard loss on a sack. But in order for him to be good, Aaron Jones has to be good, because when it's solely on Rodgers' shoulders, that's when he starts making mistakes, because he gets anxious and desperate.
Pedestrian Aaron Rodgers. Well,
who came up with that?
I don't know.
Who wrote this in here?
Pedestrian Aaron Rodgers. Well, put it this way. How many games have the Packers won this year?
Lucky 13.
So I think the answer is, can we win with pedestrian Aaron Rodgers? I think the answer is yes, of course we can. However, other things have to happen, right? We've got to get the ball to Aaron Jones. I mean, the Seahawks defense, their biggest weakness probably is against the run. So let's take advantage of that. I mean, I thought the Eagles did actually, without any really talented running backs themselves, did a really good job running against the Seahawks defense. And, you know, they had some nice drives downfield, fueled by the running game. And I think when you've got a guy like Aaron Jones, throw in some Jamal Williams and maybe even some Swervin Irvin every once in a while, I'd love to see them feature the running game on offense and just have Aaron be pedestrian and just complete the passes he needs to complete. So I'm all about the run game this game.
Yeah. I think our biggest advantage offensively is going to be our line. And I think having a healthy Bulaga back, really, this is a fairly dominant offensive line, at least when it comes to really protecting Aaron Rodgers. A lot of it just comes down to what's Aaron Rodgers going to do with the time that he has. But I agree with you, Al, that Aaron Jones has to be a stud. I mean, he's got to show up to play. This is his coming out party. We got a lot of players on this team who are not selected for the Pro Bowl. We got a lot of players on the team who are not selected for the All-Pro team.
Yeah.
They got something to prove. And, you know, Aaron Jones would be one of them. This can be his coming out party, and I sure hope it is.
And I'm going to go one step further. I think, provided he's 100%, Jamal Williams, because I think you need to mix it up a little bit, and you need to diversify the run game. And I think Williams adds that extra flavor. I think we need mermaid mode this weekend.
Well, here's getting back to Aaron Jones. Here's a little tidbit for you. When the Packers played the Seahawks last season, it was back in November, I believe. The Seahawks, that game, ran the ball 30 times. 35 if you count Wilson, but let's just say 30. The Packers ran the ball 12 times. The Packers had the lead that game for all but about 5 minutes, and they ran the ball 12 times. If you look at the drive chart of the second half of the game, it pretty much looks like Rodgers and shotgun, Rodgers and shotgun, Rodgers and shot. I mean, it was the most McCarthy-esque, or I'm going to say McCarthy / Rodgers, veering away from what they should be doing. It was like textbook.
It becomes predictable.
Right. So we've got to really flip those numbers, right? The Packers should be the team running the ball in the 20s. You know, I won't even say 30, but somewhere in the 20s, without a doubt. They've got to be doing that and flip the script this time on the Seahawks. And if they do, I think we're okay.
And they have to start early in the first quarter. They have to establish it right out of the gate, or we're going to see a lot of shotgun Rodgers, and Rodgers running for his life and getting sacked, because he'll end up invariably holding onto the ball too long then.
Yep. That was the other thing about that game. The Packers were horrible on third down. And one of the reasons for that was Seattle had like 4 sacks on third down. I think they had 5 or 6 for the game, 4 of them on third down where Rodgers is just standing back there as the pocket collapses and just ducks down and falls to the ground. It was. I tortured myself by watching that game again the other day. So that's why I can give you these little tidbits about them. But anyway.
But he was doing that at the last couple games of this season, though. You saw a lot of regression of him holding on to it forever and then taking the stupid sack.
We know.
Yeah,
you didn't have to bring that up, but okay.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
So transitioning, I think you bring up a good point on playing all four quarters and starting out strong. So much is being made right now of winning ugly. And you can put this in a good context or you can put it in a bad context. I see a lot of national writers when they're talking about the Packers in the playoffs and they say, you know, they're winning ugly. And it's meant as a downer. It's not meant as a compliment. It's meant as a weakness. And I guess it made me think a little bit. Are we a good team that plays down to the level of the competition? Or do you think this is a mediocre team that's just been overachieving and just finding ways to win? Is this a playoff team? Is this a team that can go? Or is it really one that only wins ugly, that maybe isn't as good as the perception is out there?
So when I was, okay, this predates memes, but when I was in high school, I had this clipping I took out of a Rolling Stone magazine. It was a cartoon, and I had it in my locker forever, and it was a teeter-totter, and it had a million cubes on one side, and it said pains in the ass, and the other side, it was one little tiny cube that balanced it all out, and it said perfect moments. As long as your perfect moments balance out that pain in the ass, I'm okay to temper an ugly, mediocre team that gets it done. Because you look at these games, yeah, they were ugly, but there were some flashes of brilliance in some of these games. You know, every once in a while you'd see the Rodgers of yesteryear, you know, just air it out. And sometimes I even went to MVS. What I'm hoping for is a little more consistency so that those perfect moments not only counteract all those pains in the ass plays, but it actually overcomes it.
See, I'm going to say they're not a mediocre team that has overachieved. I'm going to say they're a good team that has both overachieved and underachieved. I don't think the issue. I think the issue is that they just haven't found their. I don't know what the right word is. They haven't found what makes them click yet. They haven't. It's a new coach, a new system. I just don't think they've got all the pieces together yet. And I think the talent is there, which is why I'm not going to call them a mediocre team. But it just hasn't all worked out at all times. Like Kelly, like you were just saying, there have been flashes of brilliance and then there's been flashes of ugliness. But I'm not ready to call them a mediocre team. So I totally reject that notion. Reject it.
How all dare right. you?
Well, let's take a break and we're going to move on to our Packer tweets.
This week's gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
All right, everyone, it is time for our Packer tweets from Packer Peeps. We're going to go through our favorite tweets of this week, and at the end, we'll vote on our favorites. So we're going to start out with Jersey Al,
who has like 50 tweets that he's picked.
All right. Well, no. They're all connected. This is
point
kind
of order.
Like
this is like breaking the rules.
This is kind of no. This is a storyline. This is a thread, right? And it's all connected. And it's a feel-good story. So I wanted to bring this one out.
So
there.
We'll warn everybody that CD and I might start snoring in the middle of it.
Alrighty, snore away. While I shall talk. So. A Viking, of all people, Kyle Rudolph, is who we're dealing with here. He tweets, a member of the media in the locker room after the game asked if he could have my gloves for a charity benefit. So I said, of course, and I'll even sign them for you. Well, he got me. They were sold on eBay three days later. Okay, so there's hundreds of responses, you know, oh, how terrible, that sucks. One response suddenly is from a guy named Jason King who says, Kyle Rudolph, I'm the guy who bought them. I will gladly donate to a charity of your choice. Rudolph responds, hey, that's really cool of you to do this. University of Minnesota Children's Hospital will greatly appreciate it, and I will make sure to get you my pair from this weekend's game. Now talk about a feel-good story and about a Viking. That's my.
Yeah, but it's about a Viking. Thread.
Yeah. See, I don't discriminate.
And I'm just going to say.
You should in this case.
Living on the other side of the state, Minnesota Children's is really a good institution, too. So donating
I'm
to
sure
that.
Sure, it is.
It's a noble cause.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Oh, all right. Well, my tweet of the week comes from a user called Peyton's Head at Big Head BS. I'm not sure how that all goes together. But obviously, watching the games on a Saturday takes you this little trip. Going from Booger to Romo is like handing the valet the ticket for your Kia and him pulling back up with a Lambo.
As in Lamborghini, not yes. Lambeau Field.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
All right. Big difference.
Yes.
My tweet also harks back to last Saturday. And this is from friend of show, Wally Pingle.
Oh, not from your usual source?
No, he said they couldn't use it anymore.
Okay. I didn't say anymore. But, okay. Glad to see you branch out.
Did you know that Wally Pingle and Twitball are actually the same person under two different Twitter handles?
I knew it.
Are you such a liar? All right.
That's his burner account. He does that just to get Kelly to pick him for... Tweet of the week.
Can anyway. I go, you yes, jokers? You
may. Yes, you may. When okay, we finish.
From Wally Pingle from last Saturday. Really wish the NFC games were on today so we could find out who will be losing to the Packers next weekend.
Excellent. All right, so we have three tweets here. We have a nice one from Not Twickball from Kelly, a nice one about Peyton's Head for me, and Anna Karenina from Al.
War and Peace, I prefer. But...
War and Peace. All right, that's fine. So, Al, we're going to let you vote first. You can't vote for yourself. Who is your tweet of the week?
Anytime we get to make fun of Booger, I'm in on that. So, I got to go with that one.
I
like Romo. So
I actually like Al's feel-good story, but yeah, I want to dogpile on Booger.
Okay, that's fine.
So then, just for your sake, Kelly, because you were very nice on Children's Hospital for Minnesota, and Al is a feel-good story, I'll vote for Al because it's going to lose because I already won.
All right. Too long. Did not read. I'm still not voting for Kelly. The end. Ha ha.
So, Peyton's Head retired. You have this week's Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're going to finish up a little more playbook. God, we're missing the big story. This is huge.
We're burying the lead here.
Mike McCarthy.
Cowboy.
He's no longer a Green Bay Packer. He's a. We tried predicting this last week, guys. Remember?
And he joined the evil empire. Oh my gosh.
He had Jersey L expounding on how he'd be a perfect coach for the New York Giants for 15 minutes.
I got something to say about that, but I don't want to interrupt you.
And now, Jerry Jones are having sleepovers at his house, and he's head coach, hiring allegedly a superstar coaching staff. How are you taking this one?
Okay. So, the other day, well, after this was announced, I was listening to talk radio here, and they had Peter King on. And Peter King was the guy who sat down and did an extensive interview with Mike McCarthy, and they did a whole video and et cetera. So he says something that wasn't in the video or the show, whatever it was, said, we went out one night, me and Mike McCarthy, and we were just sitting down, eating dinner and just talking about different things. And he told me over and over how he loved the Giants job and how he loved their quarterback, and that was really where he wanted to go, but that was kind of off the record at the time. So what happens? The Giants bring him in, they have a conversation, and they decide, okay, we'll let him go because they've got somebody else in mind, the Matt Rhule guy, who stiffs them and goes to Carolina, and then so they settle for the guy from New England. So the point being that Mike McCarthy should be the Giants coach right now, not the Cowboys coach. And the fact that he's going to be a Cowboy and that he's already said something like that the Dallas is the most iconic organization, something like along those lines, my head wants to explode. I mean, I was feeling good for the guy that he took the year off. He was working hard. He was going to get a job. And now you're going to make me hate you again?
Poopy on Mike. And for that, seriously, gonna... it's like, okay, you played for Titletown USA, but
The Mike, the Dallas is really, really iconic, blah, blah.
Can I tell you how much that bothers me?
Okay, I officially hate Dallas as much as I did in like 1996 It's like, I hope they lose. I hope they lose horribly. I'm going to be petty and mean.
How much money did they give him that he felt he had to say that? He's got freaking street named after him in Green Bay.
Okay, it's like you have this press conference with Jerry Jones. It's like, blink if you're okay, Mike.
I didn't see the press conference, so I can't comment on that, but I am definitely going to
go
watch.
If you need help.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm in it for maximum humiliation in Schadenfreude at this point. If you're going to throw the Packers under the bus that quickly, it's like, and the horse you rode in on, dude.
I was so looking forward to him coaching for the Giants, being in my area. I could find out where he lived and go, you know, throw eggs at his house or something. But now that opportunity is all gone.
Hey, anyway. We can all road trip to Dallas. They sell eggs there, too.
I'm not going to do that.
So I thought the funniest line he had there is he said, when he got home from accepting the job, he said, when I came home, my wife said I looked 20 pounds lighter and a lot happier. What?
What?
Hey, Mike McCarthy, you've never looked 20 pounds lighter since at least like 2008.
Yeah, he doesn't look any different to me.
No, he does not. He doesn't look any younger either. So here's a question for Jerry Jones. What the heck is the red ass? Because somebody was doing the McCarthy, you know, cliche palooza this week on Twitter. And it's like, mention your favorite McCarthy, you know, it was like polluted mindset and things like that. And I'm like, I still don't know what a red ass is.
So I guess one of the other things that's just funny about the whole situation is the fact that Jerry Jones has apparently been obsessing on the Packers' success that we've had against Dallas. I mean, we have matched up really well against Dallas in the last 10 years.
7-3. McCarthy's 7-3. McCarthy's record against Dallas, right?
And obviously some really big games. Obviously the Dez Bryant catch, non-catch.
He dropped it. I was in that corner. He totally dropped it.
Jared Cook. So there's a lot of big games. And Aaron Rodgers even said it today. I don't think he meant to use the word because he was trying to be very diplomatic and he was complimentary and said he was very happy for his former head coach. But he says, I think that's why Jerry Jones was a little infatuated with him. Infatuated.
Jerry and Mike sitting in a tree.
You've all seen the video, right? The sleepover video?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why I said sleepover before.
You know, if
it's like we're going to do our nails and we're going to have ice cream and stay up late and watch movies.
I always watch things like that and I say, people with the kind of talent to do this type of thing, if only they could put their superpowers to good use, you know?
Yeah, no
amazing.
Kidding.
What a great job that was.
It was really funny.
Anyway.
But seriously, this is a guy that doesn't like being told what to do. He went from a team with no owner to now a team that really doesn't have a GM, but they have a dictator owner that calls all the shots. That's really not going to end well for him. I'm a highly successful football coach. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter when you have a tyrant of an owner.
I think that was a Rod Stewart song, Infatuation. I think
it was, and I was little. I was really little, and Al was like a grown-up when it came out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what year it was, but... Oh, here it is, 1984. Okay.
I was in seventh grade.
Yeah. I had just become a father.
He was a grown-up.
Anyway. All right, so where are we going from here, guys?
The pockets of hot.
It's time.
Get
for
to the
this.
Hot box.
Come
on. All right, so our hot pocket. This is our chance for each of our hosts to get on their soapbox and give them one last rant. Jersey Al, let's start with you.
As the Vikings versus the Saints games ended with New Orleans going home, you could feel a collective sigh of relief in Packer Nation. After all, the Packers would now have an easier opponent to play on Sunday, right? Well, stop right there, people. As the new coach of the freaking Dallas Cowboys would say, that there is a polluted mindset. First off, it's the playoffs, baby. There are no easy opponents. Secondly, assuming that you caught a break with a lesser opponent is a recipe for disaster, or near disaster, as we witnessed with the final game of the season against Detroit. We were so lucky we only had to get by the Lions to clinch home field, right? How easy was that game? So everybody, just pump the brakes on the overconfidence, and hopefully the Packers are smart enough not to do what Packer Nation seems to be doing, and that is my...
Hot Pockets!
Last weekend, 3 out of 4 teams won their playoff game on the road. And if Josh Allen wouldn't have melted down against the Texans, it would have been a clean sweep. So why exactly are Packer fans so bloody worried about having the game here? Or having perceived more difficult teams beaten by lesser teams so we could play them instead? Or obsessing on having the NFC Championship game at Lambeau like it's an advantage? Do you realize the Packers are only 6-5 at Lambeau in the playoffs since 2002? Look, what's happened is what needs to happen. We are playing against the team that has been the biggest kryptonite for us in the last decade. This would be the quote-unquote team we didn't want to play, right? Wrong. The time has come to quit worrying about who everyone else is playing and who's winning. It's time to stop concerning ourselves with the best matchups or hoping we don't play the best teams if we can help it. Do you want a Super Bowl? You're going to earn it. And that starts at 5:20 on Sunday against Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. They've had our number. Who cares? We might have to go to San Francisco next week. So what? The Ravens are the best team in football? Bring it on. If we win, we deserve it. And if we don't, we didn't. So let's just focus on winning the next game in front of us and go as far as we can. Go Pack Go, and that is my
Hot Pockets.
I don't want to hear about the NFC Championship game from a couple of years ago or how a third string tight end didn't know their place on an onside kick. Shut your face about the Fail Mary while you're at it too. Those aren't the teams we're going to play this Sunday. And they're in the past. Get over it. Really, get over it. What you'll see this weekend are two teams that are scrapping to play another week. That's it. Their records don't matter. All that matters is that they leave it all on the field. Yes, the Packers have had some mighty ugly wins this season. And that's fine this weekend. But they have to contain Russell Wilson. I said that earlier today. And you can't get distracted by an overweight, out of shape, slow as can be bowling ball of a beast mode. He's just a decoy, and at best, he's a battering ram on third down. He's the equivalent of John Kuhn on a third and short situation. Yes, it's going to be an ugly game. We're playing the Seahawks after all. And it is at Lambeau Field. But God almighty, Packer fans, quit bitching about your team and get behind them this weekend. It's go time, not wine time. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the playoffs. We're back. We wanted the bye. We got the bye. And now we get the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson at Lambeau Field Sunday night. How do you see this game going, Kelly? We'll start with you.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm getting this out of the way, Fail Mary. I'm declaring a moratorium on all of the games in the past because they don't matter. It's 2020. Those teams no longer exist. And it's at Lambeau. Yeah, we've lost some playoff games at Lambeau. I don't care. It's January. It's cold. There's snow on the ground. It's a perfect setup for a great Packers game. The Packers know that the Seahawks are their kryptonite, and I think they're going to find a way to win. Packers 26, Seahawks 20.
Well, I'm not going to obsess about our home record against the Seahawks, where apparently they haven't won in Lambeau Field since 1872. It's meaningless. You know, the Viking fans tried to do that a few weeks ago when we played them on Monday night about all the stats and how Kirk Cousins was going to win. Look, stats don't matter. This is a game. It's the playoffs. It's all going to come down to will and execution. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to exercise their demons on Monday night. Packers 25, Seahawks 20.
Okay, the Packers will do an adequate job containing Russell Wilson, and the offense will use the run game effectively, he hopes, to make it a comfortable throwing day for Aaron Rodgers. Packers 26, Seahawks 17.
Do you realize we all predicted the Packers to score either 25 or 26 points?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
And we all predicted the Seahawks to score either 17 or 20.
Yes.
And I didn't even look at these scores. You know what? It all comes down to we're predicting Mason Crosby has a good game.
And that last drive in the fourth quarter either works for the Packers or doesn't work for Seattle.
See, I was careful to pick a 9-point margin so that the Seahawks couldn't tie the game and then with a 2-point conversion. I was going for that.
That's your hopeful thinking, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep. So that'd be a sound win.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Kelly, why don't you take us out?
Thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead Radio in our 10th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. You can also find us with Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying play Packers Talk Podcast. Finally, be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. We survived another week. It's the playoffs, baby. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Playoff win.
See you next week after a big win, right?
Yes. Ted Radio.
God, here's the real rebel. I'm putting that in there. Damn it, I hate you. Which one of you buttholes did that?
I had to mute myself.
So did I.
There's no way.
I'm reading this on a phone, so I'm scrolling it, and I'm like, oh shit, I can't, you've got me.
Oh god. Alright.
How old are you two? 12?
You're giving us too much credit.
Yeah. 8?
Oh, gosh.
Brainless!
I thought that was brilliant.
That was really funny. I'm like, I started laughing. I hate them. Okay, let me gather my thoughts.